our building project, and that we're making strides, right? We're moving forward, making big decisions here in the next within the next week or so that are going to make a lot of changes here, which is a great thing. But that's something that we've all discussed in our meetings that we've been having about the building is if God's not in the center of the decisions we're making with this, then who's making those decisions, right? So it's something that's it's really, really important, and it's, you know, this is a, well, it's a multi-million dollar decision at the end of the day, right? When it's time to build a church, it's going to cost a lot of time and a lot of money, and the cool thing is we can't do it ourselves. So at the end of it, it's going to be really cool just to see that there was only one way that this could have happened, and that's through God. So, you know, it's very important that we're making sure that we have him at the center of every decision that's getting made. So what we want to talk about tonight is something that touches all of us. It's talking about something that affects all of our lives, every choice, every crossroad, every opportunity, every temptation. Who's at the center of our decisions? Yep. In a world full of voices, right? Culture, emotions, options, fears, ambitions, God invites us to make him the center of every decision that we make, not just a Sunday decision, and not even just the spiritual decisions, but every decision. Decisions on relationships, finances, work, family, morality, major life decisions, and daily habits. Proverbs 3:5-6 is not simply a memory verse. It is a life strategy given to us from God. It shapes the way that we walk and the way that we choose to live our lives. So Proverbs 5:6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." I mean, it's black and white. He put it in the book there for a reason. So tonight we're going to explore three different sections, essentially, on putting God at the center of our decisions. First one that we'll go over is going to be, you know, why God must be at the center of every decision. The second one we'll talk about is what it means to acknowledge him in all of our ways. And the third one is how we practically do this every single day. So the first one, so there'll be three parts to this one, why God must be at the center of every decision. Because our understanding is limited. You know, we just read in Proverbs 3:5, lean not on your own understanding. Okay, and that's something that we're all guilty of. We all get ourselves caught up in that sometimes, but that's a battle that we fight until one day we find ourselves looking less and less inwards to ourselves and more outwards to him. Right? We should be, and we should be striving to get there. If you're not there yet, keep doing it. Eventually, it will. You'll see more and more of it. We often believe we see the whole picture, but we don't. We don't see the whole picture. God sees what we cannot see. We see today. God sees eternity. We see we see the surface. God sees the heart. We see what is temporary. God sees what is everlasting. Jeremiah 10:23. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. So we were never designed to guide ourselves. You know, for us that have spent time in our lives of being pretty prideful and pretty boastful, right? That's something we had to work through. I had to work through. I'll speak for myself. I had to work through that, right? Is we're never designed to guide ourselves. We're designed to let him guide us and be obedient to that. We do a lot of things. Worry is one of them, yes, sir. We were never designed to guide ourselves. When we rely solely on our own judgment, then we end up misled, confused, frustrated, anxious, and oftentimes in regret. So the second part of this one is because God's wisdom is perfect. Okay, in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and it will be given to him. God's wisdom is pure, peaceable, and perfect. He knows the past, the present, and the future. His guidance is never flawed. Okay, Isaiah 55, 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than yours. Right? So I mean, it's God's wisdom is perfect. Okay, the third part of this one, the third part to this one is because decisions shape destiny. Every decision is a seed. Our decisions today become your lifestyle tomorrow and your legacy in the future. Psalms 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. If your steps are ordered by the Lord, your destination is blessed. If your steps are not ordered by the Lord, stand by. Okay, so the second part of this, and I say that because how many of us have made those decisions that were based on me and not the Lord, right? And how'd those work out? Right? It just, for whatever reason, those seem not to work out very often. Yep. Okay, so the second part of the three that I'm going to cover tonight, so the second part is what it means to acknowledge him in all of your ways. Okay, and this one here is going to break up into five parts, but Proverbs 3:6 calls us to be God-centered. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, not just some, but all your ways. So acknowledge him as Lord in every area of your life. Okay, acknowledge does not just mean a polite nod. It means to recognize, to submit to, and to seek. To acknowledge him means, Lord, what do you want? Not my will, but your will be done. I trust your wisdom above mine. Okay, so this includes our relationships. You know, should I date this person? Forgive this person, confront this issue. It includes our finances. Should I buy this? Should I give this? Should I save this? It includes our decisions at work. Should I take this opportunity? Should I speak up? Should I stay silent? It includes our spiritual life. How should I serve? What should I say? Where should I go? And it also includes, and I put this one down just because we're in it right now, this includes building a church. Is it the correct time? Is it the right area? Are the right people involved? Can we afford it? These are all things that we need to take to our God, and we need to talk to God about these, regardless of where we're at in the day, where we're at in our lives. You know, I put in the building a church one because every one of those questions are one that everybody on our leadership team have asked, that have spent time in prayer, not even just as a group, but individually, asking those exact questions and waiting to hear back from God of where he wants us to go. And when we all hear the same thing, then we know that we're going the right direction. Okay, part two of this is acknowledge him early, not after the mistake. Okay, many Christians make decisions alone and then ask God to bless them afterwards. But God wants us to consult him, not inform him. Okay, Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. God wants us to speak early, before the wrong relationship, before the impulse purchase, and before the damaging words. Can you go back and ask for forgiveness afterwards? Absolutely. But how much greater is it to, you know, consult the Lord beforehand, so that you don't have to learn the hard way? Okay, acknowledge him through Scripture. You know, as much as we all want to have audible conversations with God, God speaks primarily through his word. That's where we're going to hear him, for most of us, that's where we're going to hear him the loudest. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. If you aren't in the word, you're making decisions in the dark. Okay, the fourth part of this is acknowledge him through prayer. Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is how we invite God into our decision-making process. It's how we consult him ahead of time and not come to talk to him after we've already made the mistake. Okay, and the last one on this one is acknowledge him through submission. Proverbs 3:6, it doesn't say he might direct your paths. It says he shall direct our paths. But the promise depends on submission. God directs those who are willing to follow. Right? If we're not willing to follow, then again, we're going to rely on ourselves or the world, which is going to take us to wrong places. Okay, the third piece of this that I want to talk about tonight is how to put God in the center of every decision. How do we do this practically, right? So let's get practical. Start the day by surrendering your decisions to God. Psalms 5:3, my voice you shall hear in the morning. Before text messages, before your emails, before turning on the news, before social media, right? We're all guilty of that, before playing our online games. Even before a cup of coffee. Even before a cup of coffee. She's thinking about it as she's getting her coffee, right? Okay. Lord, guide my decisions today. Let your will lead my life. It's that simple. We start the day off with that, and that'll start our conversation with the Lord, and that'll get us starting off by surrendering our decisions to God. The next one is slow down your decision-making. Most bad decisions come from rushing. Isaiah 28:16, he who believes will not act hastily. Okay, so in your decisions, pause and ask, have I prayed about this? Ask, does Scripture speak to this? If so, what does it say? Ask, is this choice consistent with God's character? There are times that we make decisions and we consult with God and we come out of it and it's like, yeah, I think God wants me to do this. If it doesn't line up with God's character, God's not telling you to do it. Okay, next is surround yourself with godly counsel. Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. People who walk with God help you hear him more clearly. You know, this is why coming to church randomly will not grow your faith. It will not grow your relationship with the Lord, right? Because when you come into church, it's not just to hear whoever's up at this pulpit. It's to talk to your neighbor. It's to meet with other people that are alive, other people that have a fire burning inside of them that can help stoke your fire and keep you ignited and keep you passionate about why we're all here. If you do this by yourself in the house, and I've heard plenty of people tell us, well, I don't need to come to church. I love the Lord, but I don't go to church. I can you know, talk to the Lord while I'm at the house. Well, yeah, you can, but you're not going to get that same relationship. For most of us, let me rephrase that. For most of us, we're not going to get that same relationship that we would by coming here and spending time with other people that are like-minded and have the same exact goals in mind of where we're going to go. Yep, Mike said, you cut a body part off, it dies. You take yourself away from the body, it's very, very, very difficult to survive if you can. Okay, next is check motives. Before your decisions, ask yourself, am I choosing this out of fear? Am I choosing this out of pride? Am I choosing this out of convenience or out of pressure or out of obedience to God? You know, I've heard our pastor say several times to the group that we meet with Pastor Shane, but I've heard him say this several times is, hey, I've been known to be a little stubborn, so I expect you guys to tell me if I'm making a decision or I'm doing something that seems like we shouldn't be doing this because I'm being stubborn. You know, and that's pastor. That's him checking his motives before making decisions. That's him checking his counsel around him is also seeing those same motives, those same results that he's looking for, and getting confirmation that we're making the right decision as we move forward on things. And this isn't just the building, this is in every decision that we make here. Proverbs 16:2. The Lord weighs the spirits. Okay, so next is look for the fruit of the Spirit in your decisions. If a decision leads to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control, then it aligns with God's Spirit. Okay, and then step out in faith when God gives clarity. Psalms 37:5 tells us, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Once God directs you, go. Don't wait. Don't question. Just go. Don't delay. Don't negotiate with him. Don't resist. Okay, and the last one for this one is stay obedient after you've made the decision. A God-given decision still requires God-honoring follow-through. It's very easy for us to make a decision, and that's a great decision today, but 2 weeks from now, we start getting in our own head, right? We start second-guessing our decision, and man, was that God? If it was God, is he telling me to do something else now? I mean, don't be blind to what God says, but on the same hand, stay obedient after the decision's been made. If it's still moving forward, and we said this about the building fund 2 years ago, right? If God's not calling for us to build a new church here, then God's going to put so many roadblocks that we can't do it. But every time a roadblock has been put in front of us, there's been a way. God has made a way for us to cross through that roadblock, and it won't stop now. Okay, so I want you to think of it like this. Okay, we think of a wagon wheel, right? A big wagon wheel or a bicycle wheel with all the spokes and all that, right? So think of our lives like a wheel. You know, every area, our family, our job, our relationships, our finances, those are all spokes, right? Spokes in the wheel. But in the middle of that wheel holding those spokes together is the hub. Okay, if God is the center, the wheel's going to turn smoothly. But if we let something else become the center of our wheel, whether it's fear, ego, money, ambition, the wheel becomes unstable. A life centered on God is a life that stays balanced and directed. So Proverbs 3:6 ends with the phrase, and he shall direct your paths. It doesn't say that he might direct our paths. It says that he shall direct our paths. This means God will protect you from wrong turns if we listen to him and we obey him. God will open the right doors. God will close the harmful ones. God will guide you even when you cannot see the whole map. God will align your life with his good and perfect will. Psalms 23:3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. God becomes your shepherd and mine. Kathy, you want to come on up? Okay, so imagine your life if God directed every decision and we let God direct every decision in our lives. Well, we're talking about less anxiety. Who wants that? Right? Less regret. I think we all want that. More clarity. More confidence. More spiritual power. More fruit. More peace. No fear. But it begins with a choice. It begins with us saying, Lord, I place you at the center. Not on the sidelines, not as a backup plan, and not as a last resort, but as Lord of all of my life. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Today, God is calling us to say, as for me and my decisions, I will seek the Lord and I will follow the Lord. So Lord God, Lord, we surrender our decisions to you, Lord. Forgive us for the times that we have had, that we've leaned on our own understanding. Give us wisdom, Lord. Give us clarity. Give us courage to follow your will. Lord, teach us to acknowledge you in all of our ways, not just some of our ways, but in all of our ways. Guide our steps, direct our paths, and be the center of everything we choose. For this, we give you all the glory and the honor and the credit in all of the things that you have done through us and all the things that you have planned to do through us, Lord. We pray that you continue to work on us, Lord. Continue to mold us like clay, Lord, as we learn to be better at making decisions, Lord, through you and not through ourselves, Lord. Just give us that wisdom. Give us that knowledge to be able to see that, Lord, to everybody in here. When you're making a decision tomorrow morning, whether you want coffee or tea, or in some of our cases, nothing but clear fluids for 24 hours, Lord, we pray that you're with us in those decisions, Lord, and that you guide us in every one of those decisions and not allow us to guide ourselves, Lord. Show us that leaning into you, Lord, and letting you guide our lives, and show us how much better our lives will be and how much those around us will see in our lives just by simply following you, Lord, and following your decisions and using our knowledge and our experiences to lean into you, Lord, and to listen to what it is that you have to say. So we just thank you, Lord, and we thank you for the service this morning, Lord, on the thanks, Lord, and the table, Lord, the table of what you did for us so many years ago, but it's still just as relevant today as it will be until the day you come back for us, Lord. So we just thank you, Lord, and please protect us, Lord, this week as we go out of here, Lord, and just bring us back here safely on Wednesday, and just help us to meet people this week that we can tell all about who you are and what you've done for our lives, Lord, and to share our stories of what you've done for us. We thank you. We give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.